This is Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Tori, alongside Miles and Rob, and together we have over 75 years of experience advising on and brokering the precious metals. Each week, the three of us provide a technical analysis of the metals charts, and we cover the underlying fundamentals and news that helps move and predict the markets. For those of you that would prefer a visual, you can go to our website at mcalvaney.com. That's mcalvaney.com/news and see the charts that we're discussing on this show. And boy, are we getting some volatility today. I mean, we'll get into some of those fundamentals at the end, but it starts really fun for you, Miles, with showing some technical action here on these declining prices in all four of the metals.
Is it technically volatility if it's all going the same direction?
Well, as long as it's moving enough, I guess it is.
Okay,
volatility fair. Implies some aggressive movement, right?
Sure.
And that's what we're getting. We record, by the way, on Wednesday afternoons, so the Federal Reserve did just make their announcement, which is why we choose this time slot to record. So if you're listening to this on a delayed, the numbers we're using are from Wednesday, July 30th, in the afternoon. And so, Miles, take it away.
Yeah, so we're looking, starting off with gold down. At the time I was putting the notes together, it's probably down a little bit more in the last half hour, but we're down about $107. That's 3.1% since our recording last week. That's bringing gold down under 3,300. We're currently at 3,275, and we're going to dig a little bit into the gold chart here because it's not quite as bad as it may first sound. Moving over to silver, like silver always does, anything gold can do, silver can do better. Silver's down $2. That's 5.1%. That's down to 37 bucks even at the time I was grabbing my charts earlier today. So silver doing a little bit better than gold on the downside, and we'll look at that here in a second as well. Platinum, the big winner, down 8.75, almost 9% since we recorded last week. That's a $125 decline on platinum, bringing it not just into the 1300s, but almost into the 1200s. Platinum currently $1,308 at the moment. And palladium, not to be outdone, right on platinum's heels, down $104. That's 7.5%. Currently sitting at $1,222. Now on the flip side, over in the paper markets, the S&P actually put in a new all-time high this week and is sitting pretty much dead even at the moment from our recording last week. It's down a couple pennies, currently at 6,363. And all of this, as always, predicated on the US dollar in a little bit of a bounce. One might say could be dead cat like. The US dollar up pretty significantly over the last week, 2.8%, and right before we came in to record was sitting at 99.9, so almost back up to 100.
You know, fascinating fashion here. A lot of that price action you just summarized for the week has occurred today. You know,
yeah. Yep.
Gold's off $54, down 1.6% of your 3.1 just today. Silver's down 2.75%. It was down 3% earlier, down more than a dollar in one day. Platinum down 6% today alone, down $81, $85, really. I mean, those are huge moves, right?
Yeah, and this time a week ago, we were thinking, well, we're just not going to see a summer pullback. It's just not going to happen. And here we go.
It's still July.
You guys were thinking that.
June and July.
I haven't changed my tune for the last 2 months. No. I'm stoked.
Well, I'm grateful for it. These are opportunities from a practical consideration standpoint. We say buy the dips. We've been saying that all the time. We don't know if the bottom is being put in today. This is all off of good economic news. So in summary, what's really causing today's drop is surprisingly high GDP numbers.
Yeah, so huge jump.
3% in what was expected. Like
2 point something.
Yeah, 2.5, I think it was expected from a second quarter GDP number standpoint. So that swallows up the negative 0.5% that we saw in the first quarter as the markets adjusted to the new presidential administration. And then you also have the Federal Reserve not cutting rates today. And not only did they not cut rates again today, they're continuing this wait and see game, but they really put a damper on whether there would be cuts in September. The way Chairman Powell spoke was, We're seeing no indications that we need to do that. The economy is doing just fine without cutting rates.
The economy is doing just fine, but the housing market is sinking.
And automotive. I mean, anything that's credit driven.
Yeah.
So that's the downside. But I understand. I mean, the president wants to stimulate in all facets.
Sure he does.
And that would be weak dollar policy. But instead, you get some strong dollar policy from the central bank.
But everything President Trump is doing enhances the prestige of the dollar in the global market. So kind of hard to have it both ways. I mean, the rest of the world is now looking to the U.S. because we are the turnaround of the decade right now.
So, that's a good point, because if you don't weaken the dollar through money supply, that's what opening up the credit markets does. You're creating money out of thin air through the credit markets. So that's very weak dollar policy. But very strong dollar policy when you're stabilizing the bond market, you're reducing debt, you're reducing spending, you're stimulating the economy. That's all stuff, Rob, should be driving this dollar index higher. And I think it's actually a great place to start on our deeper dive is the U.S. dollar, because that's like what Miles said, that's what it's all predicated
on. Well, the
on.
One question I have is Chairman Powell wants to keep interest rates high as the U.S. is rapidly shrinking the Fed's balance sheet.
That's right.
There seems to be some sort of correlation. You keep rates high so you can dump all the paper that you accumulated over the last few years.
And get paid back in higher interest mm-hmm. rates. So the president wants to save significant numbers of dollars on our debt service. So
right.
we're paying back the interest on that. Instead of rolling over at higher rates, he wants it rolling over at lower rates and adjusting, just like we would want to do with a credit card company and negotiating our interest rate down. So I get that too. And that is responsible from a fiscal policy standpoint in Washington. But Chairman Powell, I don't know why that sounds communistic, but Chairman Powell is saying he's not playing the game.
He
right?
is not. So sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, No, it's good. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to interrupt both of you guys so we can talk about the dollar here. The dollar is on a really nice bounce, obviously. We've been talking about the dollar decline for a while. We've got a sitting president who is pushing for a declining dollar, a declining interest rates, more availability in the credit markets, all the stuff you guys just talked about. So there's no point really looking at the charts unless you predicate it with that stuff. Now, looking at the charts, glancing over at what the dollar has been doing, we've been in this compressing channel down. We watched this great sideways movement in the U.S. dollar since interest rates began to rise, going back obviously a number of years to what, 2021, 2022, when interest rates started rising. Now, we have given up all of the gain. So, and I do think that that's kind of an important little side note, is everything that we gained in purchasing power of the U.S. dollar because of interest rates going up, we've now given all of that up. So all it's really left us with is a dollar that on a global scale is worth exactly what it was 5 years ago, except our cost of living has now increased dramatically. We're going to see these types of bounces. That's something I think is key to remember for anybody that wants to follow markets at all. The stuff that happens on a day-to-day market basis is relatively insignificant compared to the larger fundamental trends that are taking place on a grander scale. And on a grand scale, we're looking at de-dollarization on an international level as countries, sovereign nations are moving back to things like, say, gold.
Yeah, great point.
When I'm looking at this compressing channel in the dollar that's been taking place since about March, April this year, and a pretty significant breakdown, there was a pretty healthy line in the sand right around 100 on the US dollar. It was the floor of the previous 5 years of market trading. The dollar spent the majority of its time between 100 on the low end, and granted, we got up to like 114, we got up to 110, but it spent most of its time between about 100 and 106, 105. We broke below that back in April. Floors turn into ceilings. You know, when you go down a flight of stairs, what used to be the floor you were standing on is now the ceiling you can hit your head on. And lo and behold, as of today, we're now starting to hit our head on that previous ceiling. So I think it's very likely the dollar's got another maybe half a point to move up, somewhere between 100, 100.5, somewhere in the very near future. And then we'll have to see if it's actually got legs or if this was just a little dead cat bounce. And I think probably going to continue to be a significant decline in the US dollar going forward, regardless of interest rate changes. And that's the thing that scares me the most, is if we're looking at stable or even rising interest rates and it can't stimulate the dollar on an international level, then what's declining interest rates going to do?
It's going to weaken it. And for those of you that are listening and not seeing, you can go to our website, McIlvaney.com/news, and you'll see a link to Golden Rule Radio where all of Miles's charts are viewable and far more effective for those of you that are somewhat flying blindly. But we subscribe to HedgEye. HedgEye is a big risk management company that does very, very deep technical analysis and macro analysis of the markets. And Keith McCullough focused this morning on the US dollar, which he calls one of the most important signals in global macro. Now, their subscribers manage more than $10 trillion in assets. So what they say really matters. A trade is 3 days or less. A trend is 3 weeks or less. What they're saying is that from a trade standpoint, the US dollar has broken into bullish territory. This morning, before today's largely volatile market move, the trend, again, 3 weeks or less, had not broken into bullish territory. So the top end of what they call the risk range for the US dollar today was actually 99.33. So they still had the dollar as bearish, downward pressure, downward expectation. But now that it broke out to 99.9, I think that that trend is also going to break into the bullish territory, and that will change what investors do. And Miles, you brought up a great point. If you want a weaker dollar, then you can do things like cut rates or whatever else. But if you're trying to fight the de-dollarization, then you want a stronger dollar. Right.
Right.
So yeah. That's what they're stuck on. They're stuck on this tightrope.
And more power to them. I want the U.S. to dig its way out of the hole that we're in, because everybody's looking at the short term GDP numbers, the employment numbers, et cetera, et cetera. But the elephant in the room is still there.
And let's be honest, if these trends continue where we see this type of economic resurgence, you know, what Trump has been trying to do, we get an industrial revolution of sorts.
Yeah, at least $12 trillion being invested in U.S. infrastructure promised so far, maybe as high as $15 trillion. That's huge.
That's enormous. Well, if the risk is going away, right, or the perception of risk is going away, then you should see a contraction in the gold price. And you should see the world trusting and moving more towards the dollar.
I mean, there's $111 trillion worth of global money supply. That's huge.
Just the U.S. dollar?
No, that's global.
Gotcha. Sure. Well, we know the M2 money supply globally is like $22 trillion.
Yeah, that's outside of the U.S. U.S. total, they're saying $18.5 trillion. That's M1. That is not M2. M2, yeah, right at 22.
Yeah, it just hit an all-time record.
Yeah.
You know, like we said a couple weeks ago on the show, but Miles, you allude to this monetary regime change. That's the de-dollarization.
Right.
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 It's happening. You see people fleeing to alternatives like cryptos and Bitcoin. And I have clients that are playing that. Several of them trade it because of the volatility, and they love it that way.
Well, central banks are moving into gold. They're certainly trying to find a footing and establish some parameters and regulatory oversight on the cryptocurrencies. And our central bank's even talking about a central bank digital currency. We've been talking to our clients about that for years.
Really, I think the stable coin that this administration is promoting is really nothing short of a U.S. CBDC. I think that's our version of a central bank digital currency. So.
Well, and the Washington insiders are trying to get ahead of it.
Yeah.
They're buying it. They're owning it. They're actually creating and establishing it, trademarking it, and trying to get out in front of all this. And to me, it reeks of a conflict of interest. But all that being said, I mean, Ray Dalio, the billionaire, just came out and said he urges a 15% portfolio allocation in gold or Bitcoin. He says that because he feels like the world's on the verge of an economic heart attack. Well, that's great, but I'm telling you, go back and look. Bitcoin and gold do not act the same in the same market.
That's
almost
true.
Like the dollar and gold. There's almost an inverse relationship. And I'm not saying don't diversify in both. He should say 15% allocation in gold and Bitcoin, not or, because you cannot confuse the two. And Congress doesn't know what to do with this. They've expressed concerns and taken action against the implementation of a central bank digital currency. And yet at the same time, they're also trying to support its establishment and, again, its regulation.
Yeah, and President Trump, same way. He says he's against the CBDC, yes. But at the same time, he's facilitating a stable coin.
Well, the concerns with the CBDC is it's really about privacy. It's a government right. control and coercion type of concern. And so if you can keep it in the private sector and not in the public sector, I think that's where they're comfortable with it. We'll see what takes on. But they've got this anti-CBDC Surveillance State Act. That just passed the House in this month. That's a brand new piece of legislation. So this is a hot topic issue. You know, I like hearing Kevin, and Rob, you hear Kevin talk too from the weekly commentary. And he says, look, I'm going to ask you one question. And what is that question?
Is there a reason other than Bitcoin going higher that you want to own it? Is that the reason you want to own it just because you think it's going higher? Is there any other reason besides that?
That's right. There question. Are multiple reasons to there own are physical reasons. Gold.
And there are other reasons for owning, like Bitcoin. I have a client that's an international businessman. I'm not going to go into detail. And he goes, Rob, I can sit in Paris and download my Bitcoin into Euro, or I can do the same in New Delhi, or wherever he is, he can download it to the local currency and not have to go through SWIFT or international banks. He just downloads it right where he's at.
Yeah, it's going to save you those transaction costs. It's going to make international trade far more efficient. And I get all that. But is it going to be a means of exchange day to day like our typical wallet? I just don't see the average consumer using it for that. Now, maybe someday there's a big paradigm shift and we're thinking back on this show and everybody's mocking Tory for being so old fashioned. I just don't see that happening here. It's not going to replace our currency in the way that it's currently structured. I think it's going to be for much bigger monies on a world stage.
Well, it can't. It can't replace our currency unless we have a massive shift in what our currency actually is as a country. Think of the stablecoin thing kind of cracks me up because it's what's stablecoin? It's a gift certificate you can convert into US dollars. I mean, just go buy dollars.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point of what is the point of having something that's less liquid than the US dollar and is pegged to the value of the US dollar? Just go have dollars.
Well, or gold. Gold is a tier one asset. It's just as liquid as the dollar. It's been a means of exchange for 5,000 years. It's got all the privacy issues.
It's like Disney bucks. I'm sorry, stablecoin is Disney bucks. That's it. On the flip side, you do have something like the crypto market. Okay, first of all, crypto was designed to mimic gold. Bitcoin was. It's mined at a similar rate to gold. It requires labor in order to produce more of it. That's the whole issue with computer processing.
And energy and expenses.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Crypto mining, energy expenses, so on and so forth. So the whole underlying theory of crypto is fantastic. The problem is what you said, Rob. So you've got one client. Name a second one. It's like everybody I know that owns crypto, they own it for one reason. They think it's going to go higher. It's speculative. That's fine. It's perfectly acceptable to speculate.
Right. It's like buying stocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you have a vice, at least admit you've got one. You know, if I love playing poker.
I'm not admitting that.
I love playing poker. I'm pretty good at it, but I'm not going to mortgage my house to do it. You know
I used to tell people I can resist anything but temptation, but I quit saying that because I'm not claiming that anymore. Yeah, you know,
So the concern with the CBDC is this. They're not going to bring in the actual crypto aspect of a cryptocurrency.
No, because, they're not.
Yeah, because they don't want to limit their spending by having to mine more of it. So there's not going to be any austerity.
People that get excited about that think, oh, you know, I can get into the new CBDC or stablecoin and it'll go up like Bitcoin.
That's not how it's going
to
work.
That's not how it's intended to work.
It's just a different method and model. So don't get the two confused.
But exactly.
I think what we're saying is like, go look too. It is not gold. Like it came out, Miles, it was marketed as the new gold.
Right? Yeah.
The modern gold, whatever. It has not acted that way. And that's fine. That was their marketing tactic to try to capture market share in the form of the gold buyer, that alternative investment seeker that's looking for safety and diversification out of the dollar. And the whole world is looking for that. Other central banks, you know, like China, they want a stable international currency that's not tied to the U.S. dollar. Developing nations and our non-allies are tired of being bullied by the U.S. dollar.
Follow the big money.
Yes.
Okay, so nations are not buying into crypto on scale. And you know who else isn't? Big companies. Like, big money is big money for a reason. You don't just accidentally trip and fall into big money. Maybe you've got some moral questionability, but realistically, you're at least making financial decisions that have netted you the hundreds of billions of dollars you have. So if big money is invested in crypto, they're not buying the crypto.
No, they're buying the companies that are the enablers, the exchanges, etc.
So they're investing in the infrastructure of the crypto market, not the investment itself.
And it has grown a lot. I mean, in terms of crypto tokens, these notional crypto tokens, there's only $4 trillion worth. That's a lot of money. That dwarfs the silver market. But there's over, you know, $21 trillion in gold. So it's not even as big of a market. Certainly doesn't have the track record. And so there's a lot that needs to develop, but all that for the sake of this dollar conversation, the United States will try desperately to maintain the U.S. dollar as the world reserve currency. Meanwhile, you've got BRICS and other nations that are trying to go away from it. And that, to me, is what's putting the floor in gold. This has been an international, big money, central bank type of push, not a retail investor. Premiums are still low. And Miles, we can't ignore the gold charts because of this pullback. I think it's worth us looking at what the trends have done now that we've not even held the previous support that we had in a more recent cycle low.
Yeah, and I'm not bagging on Bitcoin at all or cryptos at all. I think our concern is more watch what's happening. Don't just listen to what you're being told from a political standpoint, because the integration of crypto into the broader market is not going to go the way that you think it is. That's just the warning I'm trying to give people. It's about data. It's not about the crypto side of it. So the nice thing about gold is there is no ledger blockchain that the government can control. Gold is a pretty private asset, and I think that's why we've seen nations increase their gold holdings from what used to be 100%, if you go back about 50 years, got as low as 9%. So as we've been in this dollar hegemony over the last 40, 50 years, sovereign nations have almost eradicated their gold holdings up until a couple of years ago. Well, that number now on average across the globe is now over 24-25%. So sovereign nations are starting to reintegrate gold, and that's why we've seen this big run-up in gold, especially here over the last 6 months.
And that's a non-political statement too.
Yeah, that's just data.
You don't have to say, I hate MAGA or I hate the dollar. I'm just upping my gold position. Let's see how this all plays out.
So we're looking at a gold price that's sitting on a pretty significant run, especially over the last 12, 18 months. Well, gold has been sitting in this pause, this pennant pattern, but we did break below the most recent floor of that pennant here in the last couple days. So it is possible gold is either extending out its pennant or looking for at least some shorter term lows, which for those of us that maybe we bought some gold at 2200 last year, and now all of a sudden we want to pick up some more and we're going, what do you mean it's $1,000 more? We might still get the chance to pick up a little bit of gold, not down at 2600, but maybe at 32. That certainly would be an excellent pricing. For those who just want some numbers, breaking through the short-term 382 Fib, which we've touched a whole bunch of times over the last couple of months at 3,300, that's sort of been the number gold has been playing around for the last 6 months. 3,300 has been gold's home base. It extends a little bit away from it, and then it runs back to mom to make sure she's still there. Well, it's now below 3,300, so it's running away from mom the other direction.
It's looking for mommy issues.
Yeah. We may see a little bump like in the mid-32s, but honestly, if we're going to keep going here, I'd like to see gold maybe around 3175-ish. That's going to put it at the low we put in back in May. That's still only the 618 Fib on just the short-term move. We're still looking at very, very shallow retracement levels here.
What's the 50% retracement, if you don't mind?
Yeah, the 50%, that's the 3240 where I think we could see a little bit of bump there. But realistically, I mean, if you look at this whole gold move, which started back around February of 2024, your shallow reversal levels are down below 3000. So gold has a lot of room to go down and still be considered extremely bullish.
So the underlying issue here really is back to where we started. That's buy the dips. Welcome this opportunity and let's cheer these retracements on and hope that we get more gold at a lower price.
Yeah, because the rest of the world isn't going to sit on their hands while we can't figure it out.
They're going to gobble it up and they're going to put a floor on the price
yep.
at a place that we don't expect it. So yep. take your opportunity.
That's going to do it this week for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard, we encourage you to head on over to our website. That's mcalvaney.com, mcalvaney.com. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold or Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. Thanks again for listening and have a great week.